Chapter 2. The Peacocks Dance to Krishna's Flute Melody. After preparing lunch for Krishna Chandra and Baladev, Yashoda, along with Nanda Baba, follows them for a great distance as they take the cows out to graze for the day. Finally, after bidding them farewell for the day, they return home. After cooking for Krishna, Srimati Radhika and her sakis return to Yavat. As Radhika's sakis sit near her, each of them in their own specific parties as Tatashta, neutral, Swapaksh, belonging to Radhika's own party, and Surid, friendly, they all begin to meditate on Krishna. They become deeply spellbound, and when he sometimes appears in their internal vision, they become enthralled in Virahas. Seeing how Radhika is especially immersed in Viraharas and oblivious to all external considerations, the Sakis call out to her and bring even more remembrance of Krishna's pastimes to her by speaking this verse. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhavo Viranoti Kritam Yadevaki Sutta Padambuja Labda Lakshmi Govinda Venum Anumata Mayur Nityam Preksyadri Sanvaradhi Samasta Sattvam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.10 and Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.7.108. O Sakhi Radhe, Vrindavan is more glorious than even heaven, Vaikuntha, and even more glorious than Ayodhya and Dwarkapuri, because it has been graced with the footprints of Devaki Sutta. And only in this Vrindavan are the peacocks dancing in rhythm to the flute melody of Govinda. Hearing the sound of the flute and seeing the peacocks dancing, all of the birds, animals, and other living entities have become stunned. Here, Devaki refers to the other name of Yashoda. So in this verse, Devaki Sutta means Yashoda Nandan Krishna, and his footprints are beautifying Vrindavan. When Akrura and later Uddhav went to Nandagram, they saw these footprints everywhere. Seeing them, Akrura fell down to offer pranam and rolled on the ground and crying profusely said, "Today I am so fortunate to have the darshan of Krishna's lotus feet." Playing very deep notes on the flute, Govinda enters the forest near Govardhan. Immediately, all the peacocks approach him, making a keka sound, and they say that he appears like a dark rain cloud. Because he uses the end holes of the flute to produce very deep notes, his playing of the flute is like thunder, and his yellow cloth is like lightning. The peacocks become maddened, and forming a circle around Krishna, they begin dancing with great bhav to the flute melody. Hearing the sound of the flute, all sattva, meaning all living entities, become stunned and abandon their usual course of activities. Animals such as tigers and bears even abandon their violent natures. Sattva can also mean that everything in the spiritual world is Vishuddha sattva, comprised of pure spiritual energy. There is not a touch of mundane sattva, rajas or tamas in that realm. There are so many objects in Vaikuntha, and they are all Vishuddha sattva. Especially it is known as the essence of the Kladini and Sangvit potencies combined, which is found in the hearts of the eternal Ragatmika devotees there. If greed arises in the heart of a jiva for the sentiment of those devotees, and he performs bhajan, following in their footsteps, then when even one molecule of their devotion reflects into his heart, it can be called sattva. There are three kinds of sattva: Vishuddha sattva, sattva, and Mishra sattva. Mishra means mixed. Mishra sattva exists within the conditioned souls, sattva within the liberated souls who have not yet developed bhakti, and Vishuddha sattva within the dharma of Bhagavan's eternal associates. Here, With some jealous anger, the gopis are revealing the feelings of their hearts. All of the animals, birds, insects, and everything in Vrindavan has become fortunate. In an independent way, Krishna is bestowing his touch on everyone and everything in Vrindavan. When he climbs the hills, his feet are placed here and there, and even the trees and flowers are receiving his touch. But there is no possibility of us receiving this benediction, and therefore in Vrindavan we are the most unfortunate people. As we mentioned before, there are thorns in Vrindavan also, but before Krishna steps on them, they become softer than butter. Experiencing the touch of his feet, they melt in divine bliss. With jealous anger, the gopis are saying, "As of yet, our hearts have not yet become similarly melted in Krishna Prem. Therefore, if we could become thorns or blades of grass in Vrindavan, our lives would then become successful. For us, there are so many obstacles. We are not able to go before him and touch his feet and speak with him. We are not able to fan him or serve him in any way during the daytime. There are so many restrictions upon us. But there are no such restrictions whatsoever for all the other living entities of Vrindavan. If we were to become blades of grass, or thorns, or vines, or ponds, or the dust of Vrindavan, we could receive his touch. But in this form, it is not possible." Here, in expressing their jealous anger, they are describing the good fortune of the land of Vrindavan. They go on to say that Bhagavan is also present in heaven, in a form with thousands of heads, and in other forms also. Although he is also present in these forms, they are partial forms. All incarnations are not equal. These incarnations, which possess more of Bhagavan's qualities, potencies, and rasa, are superior. Krishna, Ram, and Nrsimha possess more of these in comparison to other incarnations, and are therefore known as Parivarshita avatars. But of these three, Krishna is Avatari, the source of all incarnations, and the very basis of all rasa, raso vaisa. So, because he is sporting there, Vrindavan is the most glorious place. In his commentary on this verse, Sanatan Goswami says that Krishna played Mridu Mandra on the flute. What is the meaning of Mridu Mandra? When rain clouds begin to gather, the sky at once becomes dark, and very softly and slowly thunder comes. When the clouds clash violently, it produces loud thunder and lightning also. But at first they produce a very soft and deep thunder, and that is called Mandra. Krishna produced a similar sound on the flute, but with mridu, sweetness. The nature of the peacock is such that when it sees the sky darkening and hears thunder, it begins dancing madly. When Krishna entered the forest, what did he see? Giriraj Govardhan, resplendent with creepers, blooming flowers and ripe fruits. The breeze was blowing very gently, seemingly unable to carry the full weight of the flower's fragrance. Seeing this natural splendor, the desire for enjoyment arose in Krishna, and he played the flute very softly. Hearing this deep vibration, the peacocks went mad, dancing in rhythm with their tail feathers fully spread out. Then all of the animals, birds and insects of Vrindavan congregated in the meadows of Govardhan to witness the performance. The peacocks thought, "He is playing such a beautiful melody, and dancing to that, we are feeling great anand, but we have nothing to offer him in return." After professional actors enact some of Bhagavan's pastimes, they place a murti of Krishna or Ramchandra on a plate and approach the audience for contributions. Seeing that others have placed some money on the plate, everyone feels obliged to give something. There is some intimidation or psychology used in this method. But when someone wants to give of their own free will because they genuinely appreciated the performance, they will reach in their pocket and no matter what note they first pull out, whether it be 2 rupees, 5 rupees or 10 rupees, they will immediately give it. So one of the peacocks was thinking, I have nothing valuable to offer him, no golden necklace around my neck or any valuable ornaments. I am simply an animal, but the feathers of my tail are very valuable. There is nothing in this world which can compare to their beauty, and upon seeing them, everyone becomes pleased. With their 7 colors, they are so attractive, so is there any reason why I shouldn't offer one to him? Therefore, he left behind one of his feathers. Seeing it, Krishna thought, this peacock is very loving. He has fully appreciated my flute playing and offered me one of his valuable feathers. There is nothing artificial in this offering. Lifting the feather up and placing it on his head, he thought, just as the flute is dear to me, this peacock feather has now become dear to me. While walking, resting, dreaming, standing or sitting, I will never abandon it. Wherever I go in Braj, I will never abandon the flute or this peacock feather. This is the origin of the peacock feather, becoming Krishna's most celebrated ornament. The peacock saw, oh, I left that feather for him, but he didn't merely put it in his pocket, he has placed it on his head, the most valuable of all his bodily parts. Today my life has become completely successful. If we desire to offer a gift to our Guru, to the Vaishnavas or to Bhagavan, but upon receiving it, they were to say, what need do I have for this? I have millions of good quality things. We would feel pain in our hearts. But instead, they accept it and say, oh, what a beautiful thing you have brought me. And then we feel very pleased. Similarly, Sudama Vipra brought Krishna some uncooked low-grade rice. And honoring his offering, Krishna snatched it away from him, saying, oh, such a nice snack you have brought me. And even though it was uncooked, dry and tasteless, he immediately chewed it up and said, Rukmini and Satyabhama have never offered me anything this nice. Hearing this, how did Sudama Vipra feel? Today I have become fully gratified. So the peacock saw that he had offered Krishna such a trivial gift. Yet Krishna had taken it and placed it on his head. Then Krishna played the flute with so much prem that he became maddened along with the peacocks. Before in this verse, Anumata referred to the peacocks becoming intoxicated, but it can refer to Krishna as well. Then he played the flute with even more prem, and the peacocks became more maddened. Krishna also became more maddened. And in this way there was competition between them. If someone offers something with prem and it is also accepted with prem, then both parties become the tasters of that prem, and that is precisely what happened. While Krishna was playing the flute in this way and the dancing was going on, all of the sattva, meaning the birds and animals, became motionless and watched and listened. But don't consider them to be like the birds and animals of this world. The birds and animals of Golok are all Vishuddha-sattva, and there is no trace of tamas, rajas or material sattva in them. Even when the jiva becomes very elevated, perhaps just before liberation, still there is some trace of material sattva in him. But in this world, most people are tamasic, which means they are affected by lower attributes such as hatred, envy, anger, and the cheating propensity. Then there is rajas, which is characterized by intense greed for enjoyment. So even when sattva comes, at first it will be mixed with tamas and rajas. In the case of Harishchandra Maharaj, he gave away a great amount in charity, which is sattvic, but it was mixed with rajas. Karna was very charitable, always spoke the truth and did good to others, which are all sattvic qualities, but he was affected by anger, envy, and the tendency towards violence, so it was mixed with tamas. Bharat Maharaj showed affection for an animal, which was sattvic, but still it was not sudasattva. Only after the jiva attains Swarup Siddhi and will imminently enter into Vastu Siddhi can it be said that he is in Vishuddha Sattva. Bhagavan and all of his devotees in Vaikuntha, whether they are peacocks or monkeys or whatever, are situated in Vishuddha Sattva. In order to watch Krishna playing the flute and see the dancing of the peacocks, many other birds gathered in groups on the branches of the trees of Govardhan. Below in the forest, the deer were also watching, but with their eyes closed as if in meditation. How could they be watching if their eyes were closed? By sanchari, which means they were internally experiencing the particular sthayi bhav or permanent sentiment that they were situated in. There were a great many species of birds and animals watching from the meadows of Govardhan, and they all displayed the natures of munis. Govinda Venum Anumata Mayur Nritam. The name Govinda comes from the words Go and Indate. Go means the gopas, gopis, cows and calves. It can also mean Veda, Brahmana, Gyan, the senses, and many other things. Indate means Indra, which means master. So Govinda means the one who increases the anand of everyone in Braj by the notes he plays on the flute. Hearing this divine sound, all living entities forget their normal course of activities. At this time of the day, the birds generally make different sounds in their chirping, such as Checha and Kalarava. But all these activities stop and everyone forgets even their own bodies. This is the meaning of Avartanya. In this way, everyone stands motionless, just listening and watching, thinking, aho, this can only be found in Vrindavan. Bhagavan is also present in Vaikuntha, but there the sound of the flute cannot be heard. In Ayodhya and Dwarka, one won't see peacocks dancing like this. This can only be found in Vrindavan and nowhere else. Vitanoti means that Vrindavan is more glorious than heaven or even Vaikuntha. There Krishna exhibits four special qualities: Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Lila Madhuri and Prema Madhuri. The especially sweet love which his companions in Braj have for him. Because Govinda is playing the flute there, the splendor and glories of Vrindavan are being proclaimed as the best of all. How did Krishna appear to the peacocks as he was playing the flute? He had the peacock feather placed in his crown. He was standing in his threefold bending posture with his right foot wrapped around his left. Seeing this, at once the anand of the peacocks increased. Krishna was adorned with a gunjamala, which also included kadamba flowers and tulsi manjaris, which hung down to his knees. A mild fragrance was coming from it, and bees were swarming around it. He was wearing bracelets on his wrists, and on his limbs were paintings of spiders. In this way, Nandanandan was decorated in his forest attire, and was holding the flute, which had been called his dear Sakhi, in his hands. He will never abandon it. It always remains with him. Sometimes, for increasing the waves of Leela and for the pleasure of the gopis, he enters a kunja and falls asleep. Knowingly, he allows the flute to hang loosely in his hand. He is not really sleeping. And seeing him from a hidden position and thinking that he is sleeping, the gopis say, "Now we should take that flute." Then Radhika says to the other gopis, "Who is prepared to do it? If he awakens, he will grab you." Then everyone becomes afraid. In pretending to be asleep, Krishna certainly has some special intention. If there is any person who can take the flute, It is Radhika. All the gopis propose that she do it, and she agrees. Smiling and watching him very carefully, she approaches stealthily like a cat. Standing over him, she looks carefully to see if he is really sleeping or not. Then she snatches the flute and quickly leaves the kunj. Then Kundalata comes and scolds Krishna. Your everything is gone and you are sleeping. Getting up and looking around, Krishna says, Hey, where is my flute gone? Very perturbed, he says, Who took it? Did you see who took it? Then he approaches the gopis as if he knows nothing and says, Have you seen my flute? In this way, he knowingly allows the flute to be taken in order to taste some special rasa. Otherwise, he would never abandon it. In the Brahma Samhita, it says that the flute is his Priya Sakhi. The vibration of this flute can melt anything, even rugged mountains, and it is also capable of entering devotees' bodies and stealing their hearts. If the flute were not there, then so much of his lila and vilas would be meaningless. Such is the importance of the flute. Being held to his lips, it drinks the rasa there and becomes intoxicated, inspiring the gopis to say in the Venu Gita, This inanimate stick of bamboo is relishing that which is our property, the nectar of your lips. In the verse we are explaining here, the name Devaki Sutta has been used. Once, Devaki Sutta, Dwarkadish, went to the heavenly planets. Rajendranandan Krishna didn't go there. Dwarkadish went there to acquire the Parijata flower to appease the heart of Satyabhama. And approaching Indra, he said, Bhai, you are always very affectionate towards me. Therefore, please give me one Parijat flower. When Indra refused to give him even one flower, Krishna uprooted the entire tree and, sitting along with Satyabhama on the back of Garuda, prepared to leave there. Indra and the demigods tried to stop him, and after defeating them, he returned to Dwarka and planted the beautiful Parijat tree in Satyabhama's garden. This was Devaki Sutta, Dwarkadish Krishna, who bestowed the touch of his feet on the heavenly planets. But there you won't find peacocks dancing. He doesn't play the flute there. If there is anything to be found in his hands there, it will be the conch shell and disc. He didn't play the flute there or exhibit the four special aspects of sweetness which are found only in Vrindavan. Therefore the fame of Braj is greater than that of the heavenly planets, Vaikuntha or Dwarka. In Vaikuntha, Lakshmi receives the touch of Narayan's feet. Narayan is an extension of Krishna, who possesses all six opulences. But the four kinds of Madhuri are not present in Vaikuntha. There you won't find the peacocks dancing to the melody of the flute. Therefore, when the word Devaki is used in this verse, we can understand it to be another name for Yashoda. Because it is Vrindavan Krishna, or Govinda, who played the flute. And when he played the flute, all living entities forgot their normal course of activities and stood silently and motionless listening. How did the gopis hear the flute and witness the dancing of the peacocks? Sitting in their homes, they heard and saw it all in meditation. They said, Look, the peacocks are descending to the meadow to dance to the melody of Krishna's flute. But can we go there? We also desire to sing and dance with him, but there are so much restrictions upon us. Our elders are watching over us, so it is not possible for us. Therefore, we are greatly unfortunate. Thus ends chapter 2 of Bhakti Rasayana.